Welcome to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and the Competition Archery Media Podcast is brought to you by our fine platinum sponsors, Trueball Excel, Matthews, PSE, Black Eagle, Elite, B3 Archery, and Victory Archery. And today we have an incredible guest. We are thankful to have him here, but we have newly, qualified member of the U.S. Olympic team for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, or 2021, excuse me, Jacob Wookie. Jacob, thanks for being here.
Thanks, PJ. Appreciate you having me, and quite the introduction there. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, as soon as I saw that you qualified, for those of you who don't know, Jacob was on the 2012, is that what year it was, London team?
Yep, that's correct.
2012 Olympics in London, where your team won silver on probably one of the most dramatic finals I've ever seen.
Yeah. And the experience back then and everything we went through, you just had some great matches. And it came down to the last arrow. I mean, it was
last
millimeters, for that. But no, had some great matches there, some great success. Thrilled now to be back on the team and going through the trials and everything, with everyone shooting so good.
Yeah.
And then going through the final qualifying tournament and all of that. A long road, and thrilled to be going to Tokyo.
Right. So this is 8 years for you to get back to, well, nine, because last year doesn't count.
Right. Just forget that one.
Yeah. But that, before I leave this thought out there, I want folks, if you want to go back, you can go on YouTube and see that gold medal match from the 2012 Olympics. The Italian is, what's his name, the one who shot that last arrow?
Yeah, Frangilli.
Frangilli, yes. I know I've seen him at the Classic several times. And yeah. But anyway, we'll put that one behind us. But yeah, so Jacob, talk about that, because you did try out for the 2016 team that went to Rio.
Right.
How was it that you made it back 8 years later?
Right. Yeah, it certainly has been a challenge. Back in 2012, I had some stomach issues and that were really an issue for me. And by the time we got through the Olympics, I didn't have anything left to give.
Oh.
So it took some time off from shooting and kind of slowly healed from that. Came back for 2016 and made a good push for it, made the top eight.
Yeah.
And was in contention, but what it came down to is the last day I was probably still in contention, and shot the shots the way that I was wanting to shoot them, and the arrows weren't hitting. So on the technique side, just didn't have everything ironed out enough. And so didn't make that one. And a couple things that I was looking at that point in time was, okay, my work schedule, and just everything around that, where it was hard to get the training in that I needed to get to that level.
You do what for a living?
Now I work at a water treatment plant.
Okay.
As an operator. So yeah, operate the plant, bring in water from Lake Erie and send it out clean.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're in northern Ohio, northeast Ohio?
Yep. Yeah, north, gotcha. Maybe a little bit more west, but okay. Yeah, right up on Lake Erie.
Gotcha.
And so yeah, that was something that I was looking at as, okay, I knew the level that I was able to get to in 2016.
Right.
And so if I wanted to make another push for it, then I had to believe that I could get to a higher level than that, and had to kind of have a decent plan for how that was doable. And so my wife and I are talking, and we've got three daughters now, and so it was certainly going to be an undertaking. But
that's something you didn't have in 2012 either, correct?
I did not, right. I did not. So that's a huge change. And so just talked through what that would look like. And with my work schedule, it does work out better for training. It allows me to train more. And when I go into tournaments, I have more vacation available to me now. And again, with my schedule, I tend to be able to take off more time without having to burn vacation days. So I had some more flexibility there. So I just had a few areas that really took some pressure off of that aspect of training and competing.
I remember there was a long stretch, not long stretch, you know, a couple of years where we didn't see you at tournaments. And then all of a sudden it was at, because of last year, my timing is screwed up, but I think it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, there's Jacob Wookie. And Dan Schuler, who works here at Lancaster Archery, he said, yeah, he's going to try to get for the next Olympic team.
Yeah, what was that? I was actually sending him texts of when I was just making that decision, keeping him posted on what things were looking like.
I want to say Gator Cup. Am I?
Yep, that's exactly right. Okay, yeah, I didn't shoot after whatever the last USAD event was in 2016. I didn't shoot again until I think it was the last day in April. Actually, I picked up my bow. I don't think I even strung it in. You know, maybe I shot an arrow to demonstrate at one point. But aside from that, you know, I have a difficult time shooting it recreationally. I can shoot my compound. Okay. Yeah, I can shoot my compound recreationally, but the recurve, it's kind of an all or nothing type of a deal. So yeah, the last day in April 2019 is when I picked it up, and then shot Gator Cup. And really I was hoping to make USAT, and that was actually why I decided to shoot Gator Cup. Was I was looking at going, okay, if I'm going to shoot trials, I should get a tournament or two in before that, and just kind of kept working it back. Well, that would have had me at three ranking events, and I need four to be ranked. Well, then Gator Cup was there, so I was able to get registered for Gator Cup and get that, and I ended up get that eighth spot for USAT for 2019. But yeah, that's kind of what that looked like. It was something I was keeping in mind moving into 2019, and things just didn't quite make sense yet. And then, like you said, around that April mark is when we really kind of made the decision that yeah, we're gonna go for it.
So before we get to then this team this year, so is that when you like started training? Okay, you're thinking Olympics, you know, out there. Of course, that was still 2 years off. But were you then like, okay, now I'm training to get Olympic ready? Is that how that works for you or no?
Right. I would say yes. And actually one other aspect to that whole deal is I had a direction that I was kind of trying to push myself technique that I started actually before 2016. It was, or maybe right at the beginning of 2016, January or the end of 2015. So I started kind of moving that direction with a few concepts in mind, but didn't have it all figured out yet. And so that was another aspect of 2016 is I got that as far as I could at that point in time, but didn't really get it where it was working well. And so I kind of picked up where I left off in that regard as I continued to work on some of those things. And a lot of it was stretching to be able to get positions that I hadn't really tried to get before with some of the new concepts. So 2019, I was really pushing in that direction of trying to figure out some of those things that I, like I said, I didn't have a firm idea of where I wanted it to end up. It was more some concepts of what I was working on there, and worked on them through 2019. I shot two tournaments last year, and I worked on them then. I worked on them beginning of this year. And once we got to probably February or March of this year, I started to really make some headway in those areas.
I was going to say, because going into, you know, the final, the final eight, like you were in there, but that third position, it always looked like Brady, Jack, and then the third position, there was a revolving door of characters there with you being one of them. But then at the end, it was like, boom, Jacob Wookie, like just advanced in front of the others and got that third spot.
Yeah, somewhat, although Matt Nofel was kind of on fire the last 2 days and made a huge run. When all was said and done, I wasn't far, or I would say he wasn't far from having caught me. Going into the trials this year, which the last trials we had shot was the end of 2019, I was in ninth place. And I mentioned things started to come together on the technique aspects that I'd been working on in maybe March of this year. And it was like every day I was getting a little bit closer. And then, you know, sometimes I'm getting it working and sometimes I'm not. So we shot Arizona Cup and that didn't go very well, and shot Gator Cup and that didn't go very well. And so I got two trials. Actually, we had to quarantine for a couple of days before trials, and we got out there and we were able to train, so shooting, and just didn't have it working. So many of the pieces were in place, but the finished product didn't produce accurate results on the target. And I would say it was, I think, the day before official practice, so 2 days before we started scoring, it finally came together.
And is it like something that's sudden that you're like, yeah, that's it? Or
somewhat. Yeah, it was actually a relatively small change in my finger position. And so then I was able to execute the shots how I had been, but I was getting a cleaner release. And the groups came in and then had something that I was able to produce some high scores with. So, yeah, so it was relatively quick where I was shooting poor, but executing good shots and working on the things that I've been working on. And at that point, I had quite a bit of confidence in it, my shot process. And so I really felt that there was just one little thing or a couple little things that I could figure out that would get it to start working. And I was able to figure those out. And I talked with Coach Lee some and worked through that, and it all kind of came together. And I say that, and it was still very much a challenge to keep everything working because some of that, a lot of that was so new. But I was able to go in and just day after day, just give it everything I had and be smart, not push myself beyond the level that I was at, but also not play it safe and just really kind of walk that line. And I'll admit it was stressful because I felt like I was kind of pushing myself right to the edge of what I was able to do day after day.
Let's talk about that a second, because talk about the differences, because in 2012, you were not married yet, correct? and obviously didn't have any kids. So, I mean, you're just Olympics.
Yep.
Now this, and you were not working for the water company?
Right. No, I was just full-time out at the Olympic Training
Center. At Chula Vista. Okay. So yep. Now you come 8 years later, married, three kids, full-time job. I mean, everybody out there can relate to that in and of itself, how right. much time that takes. And then you're putting Olympic training on top of it. What mentally and physically, talk about that difference between 12 and this year.
Yeah. I would say mentally, it probably helped.
Oh, okay.
And for, I would say two reasons. One is you're having the kids and the family at home. I mean, worst case scenario, I come home and they have a life that I'm very grateful for. So in that aspect, you know, the Olympics is very far from being, you know, kind of everything in my life. And so, so that aspect, I think probably is a benefit. The physical side, it definitely, that's just a challenge. And it's hard, and I'm having to do it now that I'm home for a few weeks before we go to Tokyo, of balancing working and family and training, and having to say no to playing with the girls or doing family things, because I've got Tokyo in 2 weeks, and it's not something that we're going to be doing for forever. That's but right, right. now I've got to prioritize being ready for that. But that's certainly a challenge, is just being able to get the time, the energy, and the focus into my training to get myself to that level.
What's that like when you go into the water plant the first day after you qualified for the Olympics? I'm sure everybody knew that you were, that that's what you were trying to do, but now you're on the team. What's that reception like at work?
Right. I get a pretty good group of guys. It was funny. The one guy goes, "Hey, you're, do you think you get me Brady's signature?" And you're trying to just try to egg me on a little bit. Yeah. But no, they're a good group, and they were thrilled. And that's actually a whole nother aspect of it, is, you know, there are only a few of us that operate the plant. So if I'm gone, you know, the other guys have to fill in, and they've been really good and been able to do that in order to let me go. But yeah, another thing I'm grateful for is just having some good guys that I work with there that are kind of thrilled to be able to watch and be a part of, and be able to kind of cover things there so that I can be gone for time training and and all that.
Now I shouldn't skip past. So then you, Brady and Jack then shot the World Cup and take the gold medal.
Right. Well, two tournaments there, both in Paris. The first portion was that final qualifying tournament.
Oh, that was the qualifying. Followed by, right.
Yep. Immediately followed by the World Cup. Shot on the same field, largely the same archers. There are actually more countries competing in the team event in that final qualifying tournament than the World Cup. I think we had 38 countries competing for those last three spots. So we went over there 9 days before and did a training camp. And that was actually really beneficial. One, for me, the last time, I think I shot a team event in 2013. I think is when it was, maybe 2014. I don't quite remember, but somewhere in there. But I think that's the only one I've shot since London.
That's a long time ago.
And so just getting back into that rhythm of team round and working with Brady and Jack and getting comfortable with that again. There was a learning curve. It took some time to get back into the feel of things there. So that helped a lot of, you know, we shot a lot of team rounds and shot matches, us versus the women, and the women were shooting really well. And so it worked out great because they were shooting good and beating us and some of the time, and we would have to work hard if we were going to win matches. And so it just ended up being a good matchup between them and us where it benefited both, and helped all of us to really kind of be firing on all cylinders.
Right, because you went into that event, really the U.S. only had two spots, one for a man and one for a woman, but you wanted that full team, the full three archers, which then when you go over, in case people don't know, yes, you get to compete as a team, but you and Jack also get to compete as individuals as well. You get to do both aspects of it.
Yep, exactly.
And that was, I mean, I know everybody here, and we were all like, man, and same for the women. They only had one spot. Everybody was like, man, we hope we get them. Because in Rio, the men had a full team of three, but we only sent Mackenzie Brown. We only qualified one woman. So they were like, man, we got to get 3 and 3. That'd be awesome.
Right. Yeah, and it was cool because in 2012, you know, our women were in that same position, went through that final qualifying tournament and got their spots. 2016, it didn't work out. So this time around with both of us, you know, the men and the women shooting that, it was definitely, I would say pretty intense, but I was so thrilled with our women. I mean, they get up there, we shot the first match of that qualifying tournament just all at the same time. Well, then after that, they shot one match at a time. So you're shooting in that finals venue, and our women got up there, they shot great. I mean, just one match after the next, they get up there and kind of maintain their composure and just shot good shot after good shot. And made it to the gold medal match there, getting their spot. So, that was awesome to be able to see and be a part of too.
The women ended up taking the silver, and the men, you guys ended up winning it all, taking the gold.
Yep.
And then did you win the World Cup?
We didn't. Okay. The World Cup, and that's where it's so hairy sometimes, is the team round, it goes so quick and it's so few arrows. And so when we went out, we won the first set. I think it was the second set that we had, I think it was 4 9s that each were 1/8 of an inch out of the 10. And so they took that one. We won the third set, and then they got us the fourth set. So it was, went to a tie. It was a tie, so we went to a shoot off, and they got us in the shoot off. But we shot well, and we won the match before that and shot well there. We shot well in that match, and it just didn't go our way. But that's where it's so competitive. And looking at the teams that didn't get their spots on the men's side anyway, the Germany, I think they qualified in the World Cup first, and they didn't get their spots. Spain, I think, qualified second, didn't get their spot. So just some big teams that have been shooting really well, but it's just so competitive.
They won't be there at the Olympics with a full team anyway, yeah. And we should mention, again, for people who don't know, Olympic recurve, you folks shoot 70 meters. So that, and with so few arrows, as you mentioned, you know, each end in the team round is 6 arrows total for the team. That's just not a lot. Yeah. You know, you personally shoot 2. Each member shoots 2. That's not a lot of arrows.
Right.
2 arrows, anything could happen, you know.
Yep, exactly. And that's part of, you know, it just makes it a different game. And so it comes down to just having to stick every arrow, and we were able to do that a vast majority of the time, where we shot really well. The tricky part on that field was the wind, and it wasn't blowing, and as often is the case, where it's not blowing the arrows much, but it's moving them, and it's hard to see it, and it doesn't have a consistent direction, where it was just kind of swirling in there, and we're in that stadium, so you're in like a bowl. And yeah, so that was one thing that we really worked on in that camp, and we really got pretty good at, was communicating, calling the wind for each other, and being able to do a really good job there. And I think that paid off for us for sure.
So like, when you were shooting, what was the order? What was the shooting order?
Yeah, we had Brady, me, and then Jack.
Okay. So Brady shoots first. Then what is he telling you? Like, oh, it's blowing a little left, or what does he tell you?
Yeah, he's stepping up there, and oftentimes we talk about it ahead of time and go, okay, we think we should aim here. Then he's stepping up to the line, and we're constantly watching that wind, seeing if there's anything changing, seeing if we can see anything that would change that aiming point from where we had discussed. And if we see something, if Jack sees something, if I see something while Brady's drawn back, we would say it, and he may adjust, or he may see something else, but it just giving him as much information as we can. So then he shoots, and then he's coming off the line saying where he shot that arrow, where he was aiming that arrow.
Yep.
And whether it was a good shot. And we have some shots where you go, I don't really know. But you have some where he's shooting, and we would communicate all that, where he might say that was a good shot. It went off in the middle, or it was aiming right 10. Well, then Jack calls the hit because he's on the scope. So I'm getting up to the line. He just says, okay, that was a left 9. Well, if Brady aimed right 10 and hit a left 9, I know I need to aim, say, the right 9 line. And then I'm drawing back. And some of the times they would say, okay, it's letting up some. So then I'm aiming right middle of the gold instead of on that 9 line. So just that constant feedback, and it allowed us to make adjustments that I don't think other people were as good at.
Gotcha. Well, and I imagine having that Olympic experience has to help.
Yeah.
I'm not an Olympian, not on your level, right. But I would imagine just the fact that you've been in that pressure. I mean, for you folks, that's the pinnacle. That's your Super Bowl, so to speak,
right?
The Olympics.
Yep.
So I guess just having experienced has to be a benefit. Now, Brady has four. This will be his fourth Olympics. And you have, this will be your second, where Jack will be his first. So I imagine having that experience, it's probably good for everybody, but especially for Jack, that he has somebody to.
Yeah, and it really is the Olympic Games. I mean, shooting that qualifying event or shooting the World Cups and the finals, it has some carryover, I would say.
Yeah,
for sure. Where you have a Jumbotron that, when you're drawn back, you might see yourself up on that could be a distraction, or we have an announcer calling the arrows. So there's some carryover there, but at the same time there, it's not quite the same level. And so the big difference there being the crowd.
So there's going to be no crowd this time, right?
Yeah. The last I heard, I think just last week or maybe before, I heard they will have, I think they approved 50% capacity.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But that will be interesting because they aren't allowing any foreign spectators. So it'll all be Japanese citizens.
So you're not going to expect the big American cheering section.
Right. And I can expect some noise when we're shooting against Japan. So,
yes.
It'll be different. But I think a lot of it will be the same, because the big takeaways I had from London were every arrow is different. And I expect a lot of that will still be the same, because one arrow you're drawing back and maybe there's just kind of people chattering about the previous shot. Well, then they realize you're shooting, so they look down at the target to see where the arrow is going to go before you shoot. They stop talking, and then all of a sudden, right when you're about to shoot the arrow, it goes from white noise to dead silent.
Uh-huh.
And so that could be a distraction. Another shot, you're drawing back, and they've got the little bunny camera on a rail a couple meters in front of you, and so they've got that moving in front of you as you're shooting. And so the level of distractions and the different distractions is completely different than anything that you get anywhere else.
How about that? Yeah.
One shot, you're shooting a recurve using a clicker right as that's about to click and trigger you to shoot. On that particular arrow, all of the cameras decided they wanted to get a picture of the arrow coming out of the bow.
No kidding.
So right as you're about to click, you have 30 cameras that are going click, 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 click.
Yeah.
And so it really is, it's every shot is different. The distractions are different. And it really comes down to focusing on your shot, your technique. And in that team event, making sure we're paying attention to that wind and communicating with each other and making quick adjustments on that.
So for that camera clicking, you know, for folks out there who may be thinking, whatever. We were taking pictures. One of our photographers was taking a picture of Casey Caulfield here one day.
Yeah.
And they hadn't talked about it. And he was like, okay, just come to full draw. So she came to full draw. He started taking the picture and she shot the arrow. It actually went into a door. And she was like, oh, she's like, I just reacted. I heard the noise. I released.
Right.
She's like, that's what I'm trained to do. So it's real. Exactly. I never would have thought it, but I know how good she is. And yeah, she let that thing go.
Yep. And that's one of those things that it certainly is a challenge.
Yeah. So how old are you now, Jacob?
35.
Okay. And yep. I'm always interested in this. I asked Justin Hewish this when we had him on as well. Where's your medal? What do you do with it? Your silver medal from London.
To be completely honest, I'm not sure at the moment. sometimes there's a lockbox that we keep it in. I don't know if it's there right now or not. And I don't know where the lockbox is.
Is it something you take out every now and then, or do you keep it locked up, or how does it play in your life?
For the most part, it doesn't. I bet it comes out once a year.
Okay.
If I have a friend that wants to see it or something. But yeah, for the most part, I know it's there, or I know it's here somewhere. But yeah, it doesn't play. It really doesn't play much of a role.
Not something you take out and look at for inspiration or anything like that.
Right. Not really. And yeah, that's actually one thing I would say that I learned from 2012 was actually learned it from Apollo Ono, the speed skater.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And because he was over there in 2012 on the media side of thing and doing some interviews. And so we got to talk to him after we got our medal. And he asked us, what do you guys do with your medals? You're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I got it in my pocket. Like I got it with me. What else would you do with it? And he said, well, the reason I say that is I always would hide mine, you know, 'cause he would get a couple per games. And he said he would get one, he'd get back to his room and he would hide it under or something. He said he didn't want to look at it, didn't want to be reminded of it or any of that, because he wanted to be racing every race as if he had never won a medal.
No kidding.
And so that was something that it was really kind of interesting and eye-opening to me to get that perspective from someone who achieved so much success, and something that I would say was a mistake I made in 2012 of my perception going in was I want to be a medalist. More so I would say than winning. So once we were in the gold medal match, it was like that goal was achieved. Obviously I still wanted to win the gold. But I would say my mindset going into it wasn't right. And so that's something that I certainly think about. And then we were talking about that when we were in Paris was, that mindset and that mistake that I certainly made in London, didn't even realize I was making it. But looking back on it, that's something I'll definitely take into Tokyo.
So do you, when you look back at London, do you view it as you won the silver or you lost the gold?
Yeah, I would say I definitely view it as won the silver. And I don't know. Yeah, I mentioned that change in mindset and going. I don't know if it would have changed anything for me or for us. Maybe it would have. Maybe it wouldn't have. But it's something I certainly can look back on and go, okay, I know from a mental standpoint. That was a mistake.
Gotcha. Now, when you came back from London, what happens to an Olympic silver medalist in archery? Is it crazy? Is it life as normal? I have no idea.
I would say initially there's a lot of kind of homecoming type things of family and friends and the celebrations there. It is definitely a fun time where the work is already done. You have the accomplishment and get to enjoy it for a little bit, but that's certainly a fun time. And I enjoy getting together with friends and family even without that. So I like that a lot. And going to my high school and signing things there. And so there's a lot of that is a lot of fun. But that kind of thing, it certainly doesn't last long. And I would say the life as normal resumes pretty quickly.
Came back. Now, how old are your daughters?
5, 3, and 11 months. And two of them have birthdays in the next 2 weeks, and one has one next month. So we're gonna knock out two birthday parties tomorrow, and then we'll get the other one after Tokyo.
Your 5 and 3 year old, like, do they understand what dad's doing? Do they understand the Olympics and
somewhat and somewhat not. They did get to watch the matches when we were over at the final qualifying tournament and kind of have the excitement of watching us shoot over there and get the spots. So I would say they at least halfway understand it, or they understand that it's a big deal. They understand that not many people get to go to the Olympics. So they get that a little bit.
Do you find that, obviously, when you went to London, that's what you'd been working up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, again, I have no frame of reference for this, but I would think if I were in your shoes, this one to me would feel more, I don't know if satisfying is the right word, but to get back to it rather than getting it to it for the first time, I would think that would have an extra special feature to it. Am I off on that? Is that how you relate to it, or is it all the same?
I would say you're probably right there, and it is. I would agree. I think it is a little bit extra special, especially having missed 2016. To make it again now is pretty neat. I had mentioned 2012, the stomach issues I had there, those were no small thing, and they played a role. I mean, they caused some serious issues for me. So, you know, all through the trials and the World Cups that we shot and the games, it was a challenge to keep weight on, and I had times where I couldn't eat, and it was a pretty big liability, because it would kind of come and go. And as far as the discomfort I had, so what would happen if it happens to hit me at the wrong moment? And we made it through, and it worked out well. But that's one thing I'm really excited for Tokyo about, is being able to go there and being healthy. I mean, I couldn't be more thrilled with how 2012 went.
Sure, yeah.
But being able to go in, being healthy, and I'm just really excited about that and looking forward to it, and feel a little bit more like I can go out there and give it everything I have. I was able to do that in 2012, and it went great. It's just a little bit, definitely, I would say, a lot different, and I'm excited about that different aspect of it.
So let's talk about your schedule coming up here. So when do you leave to go over to Tokyo? Because you have to quarantine for a period, correct?
Yeah, I'll actually fly out on the 12th. And I'll fly out to Chula Vista at the training center there, train with the team for a couple of days, and then we fly to Tokyo on the 15th.
Okay. That's July 15th, and the Olympics don't start until...
Yeah, I think the 23rd or somewhere in there. I guess I should...
Oh, in July.
I figure...
I thought they didn't start until August. I should have looked that up.
Oh, no. No.
And archery is one of the first events. I mean, it's towards the beginning as opposed to the middle or the end, correct?
Yeah, we always have medals that we're shooting for really on day one after the opening ceremonies. And typically, I actually should look at the schedule too. I haven't looked at this schedule. I don't know exactly what it looks like. Usually what we do is we shoot our ranking round, that 72-arrow qualification round, on the day of opening ceremonies, before opening ceremonies.
Yes, now I remember. Yeah.
And then we start shooting matches the following day. And so typically for archery, we aren't able to walk in opening ceremonies, because you'd be on your feet till 2 a.m. and then you're competing for medals the next day, so you don't do it. And I don't know. I don't know what opening ceremonies will look like, if they'll have, I assume they'll have people in it, but, with COVID, I haven't really figured out what that'll look like. In 2012, I think the women were able to go,
I think Mackenzie said she went in Rio.
The men shot for a medal the next day, but the women didn't. So they were able to go and not have an issue there. So everyone's a little bit different. We'll have to see kind of how the schedule falls this time.
And then will you stay through the entire games, like to do closing ceremonies, or do you folks come back before that?
Yeah, I think we come back. I think we have to be on a plane within 36 hours of our last arrow.
Oh, okay.
Being shot.
Is that a rule for this year because of COVID, or that's the way it is?
Right.
No matter what. Oh, okay.
Nope. Normally you'd be able to hang out and stay for closing ceremonies and then fly back after. But yeah, because of COVID, that was the last I heard on the subject, was got to be on a plane. I think it's 36 hours after your last arrow.
Wow. And so, all right, let's go crystal ball into the future then. What do you think? I mean, I'm asking you this before you've even gone to this Olympics, but are you thinking another 4 years, or what's your thought process? Does that play it by ear?
That's a good question. because with this one being pushed back, trials for the next games will start in like 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yes.
So, you know, it's not that long away. I don't know. A fair number of things kind of in play there. My plan is I'll get through this year and kind of see where everything is and make the decision then. I think I probably will try for another team in the future, whether it's the next one or the one after that. It's the nice thing with archery is the longevity you can have in the sport. But at the same time, you know, my intention was to continue shooting next year and kind of at least get back to shooting the national events. That being said, it has been hard with family and work and having to say, no, I can't go play with you right now.
That's a lot of juggling.
Yeah. So
what's your wife's name and what does she do? We got to give a shout out to her.
Yeah. Breanne. And she's a nurse in the ICU.
Oh, wow. So she's been busy as well.
Yeah. And she's been able to switch to where she's just doing that part time. So it makes it a little bit easier, but we certainly have a few irons in the fire. But yeah, so we'll see. It's that constant making that decision of, okay, is it worth it? And what am I trading for it? And it was most apparent this year of how much I am trading for it, the time with my kids and the time I could be putting into them. Not quite sure what it would look like. It definitely won't look like this go around. To be working and having the family and training to that level, something would have to give. I won't do it like this again. That's not to say I'm not glad that I did.
I just keep thinking from this side of the aisle, I'm thinking, I just remember seeing you show up to that Gator Cup, and I remember Dan saying, and I was like, I saw Wookie here. Then Dan, and just Dan saying, yeah, he's going to try for the Olympics. And now to see that you're on the team, I mean, for me, that's cool.
Yeah.
Just to see it worked. It all played out. After shooting your bow for so long. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. It was certainly a process and like I say, a long road, but we're getting closer to the end and couldn't be happier with how it's gone so far.
All right, folks, that's another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. We certainly thank our guest, Jacob Wookie, and we wish him the best in the upcoming Olympics. Jacob, thanks for being here.
Thanks, PJ. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, Competition Archery Media Podcast can be found on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks for joining us today.